Good evening. I'm fucking up. I'm Mike, I'm an addict. That sounds really loud to me. Sounds louder than Ross. Maybe it's got a louder voice. Fucking hell, where to start? Just trying to have a couple of seconds to collect my thoughts a bit, really. It's thanks, Jay, for asking me to do this. You know, I know there was a little bit of wrangling. It took us a bit of time to get here because I did have an eye on the 40-minute slot, but rules are rules, and one thing and another. I'll try and be a good warm-up act. Hopefully I will be. Anyway, I should get down to business. I ain't got much time. I think, I've been trying not to think too much about, what I was going to say tonight. But, I have found myself over the course of the day, I've had quite a busy day, but on occasions I've slipped into kind of a little bit of worry about doing this. And the things that have been worrying me are quite mad. I don't know if they're mad really, but they're like kind of childish things, it's like kind of dream-like stuff, like I'll get here and open my mouth and nothing will come out, or I'll get here and I'll speak and it'll be a language that no one understands. And, it's all kind of, I suppose, self-conscious stuff, do you know what I mean? This is one of the few occasions when I've probably got good reason to be self-conscious. because I'm not a trained public speaker, do you know what I mean? This, doing this stuff in front of people does not necessarily come naturally to me, speaking in front of groups of people. But nevertheless, I do it, and I do it on a regular basis. And the reason that I do it, not always with a microphone and not always, being recorded, but the reason that I do it is because, I get immense relief from doing it. I don't know why, do you know what I mean? I don't necessarily understand what happens when I come to a meeting, but one thing that I do know is that, by coming here, I have found a life beyond my wildest dreams. And what I'm going to try and talk about a bit is, is my experience, because I think that there's a big difference between experience and information. I remember when I was first in rehab, there was a guy there, he had all the information, he'd been in and out of AA, knew the big book inside out, and he was like, in the rehab he used to sit around, we'd be around the fire and stuff, we couldn't watch TV, and he'd like, Sermon on the Mount type stuff, Jim Banji was called, and he used to tell us all about it, and he'd rattle off about the steps and the history of AA and stuff, and he got kicked out of rehab, and we got a message 7 days later that, in a blackout, he'd slit his own wrist, and he'd, it was so severe that he was in such a desperate state that, he'd almost cut his own hand off, which I remember at the time thinking, how can this guy who knows so much get into such a fucking dark place so quickly after being in such a, an informed position? And I think that was the first time that I realised that, information alone, doesn't really help me that much. I suppose it's about what you do with it. It's about what I do with that information. And I know that, when I first came to NA, I wanted to appear as though I knew it all, kind of egotistical stuff, really, I don't know what it was about, really, but, I just wanted... I thought that by talking it actually meant that I was doing it, and again, it couldn't be further from the truth. A little bit of, background on... Excuse me. On how I got here and kind of what happened and what it's like now, I suppose, a bit of experience, strength and hope is called for. This time of year always reminds me of using... and it's kind of damp and it's dark and it's wet, especially before Christmas. Because I remember, I remember at the end of me using, I was like staying on a mate's sofa, and there's this one, just before Christmas, there's this one memory that always sticks in my mind, and that was that, I was walking to school, I had a pocket full of change, I didn't have enough money on me, and I was walking past houses with the curtains open, looking at people's Christmas trees and Christmas decorations and, Christmas presents under the trees, and it just looked really wholesome and warm and homely, do you know what I mean? And I was 21 years old, I was a, You know, I was addicted to heroin and opiates. You know, I had an occasional liking for crack. When my gyro could stretch to it. And I remember looking in these houses, and I just used to think, you know, it just felt a million miles away from where I was. And all I really wanted to do, even though I was going to school, was I just wanted to go home and see my mum, truth be known. Just wanted to be able to go home and and just feel a little bit secure. And around that time as well, I used to have this, you know, I had all sorts of fantasies going on in my head, but I had this fantasy that was, you know, the reason I call it a fantasy was because it was so far removed from my reality. And that fantasy was just to be able to get up in there. And I could see it like a kind of mental image, like a dream. You know, that fantasy was just to be able to wake up in the morning and, you know, go downstairs in a house that, you know, that was mine. You know, have a wife, sit around the breakfast table, have a couple of kids, just be a straight member, really. And, you know, for some reason, I always have this image in my head of all I want to do is put on a suit and go to work with a briefcase for some reason. Now, I don't know what the briefcase was about or the suit, but I think it kind of symbolised everything that was, you know, the complete opposite to the way I lived my life, really. I just wanted to have, like, a, you know, a job as in insurance or something. I don't know what I wanted to do. Just, like I said, I just wanted to be a straight member. You know, it was just too much hard work. You know, when they say sick and tired of being sick and tired, at 20, it was over for me. Do you know what I mean? It was, the glamour of it had gone. And I think this kind of insurance, kind of bank clerk image, the reason it was so appealing was because the reason I thought I'd got into that mess was because I'd lived my life kind of being anything but an insurance broker. You know, my whole thing was about kind of being on the edge a bit. You know, when I was 16, Acid House was kicking off. You know, I had one of the best clubs in Europe on my doorstep. I could get in there when I was underage. You know, it was just like the most exciting time of my life. And before I knew it, in the blink of an eye, I'm kind of traipsing around trying to scrape a tenner together, cold and wanting to go home. Do you know what I mean? I didn't really know what had happened and how I'd gone from one to the other. And anyway, you know, I better do a bit of an edit here, but I don't want to be infringing on the 40-minute slot. you know, basically, what happened was, you know, I went to NA. Both my parents are in fellowships, not NA, but AA and OA. And I'd been to, like, AA conventions with my dad when I was a kid, and I just hated it. I fucking hated it. And I went to my first meeting, I hated it. You know, like I said, it was just, I don't know what it was. It just all seemed a bit creepy to me. Do you know what I mean? A bit like, just a bit, you know. I guess maybe how punks felt about hippies or something. I don't know. It's just all a bit too new age for me. And, you know, not that I was a punk or anything. But, you know, what I'm trying to say was that when I went there to my first meeting, I hear people say about their experience about, you know, they felt like they'd gone home and this, that and the other. It was complete opposite for me. I just thought, get me away from these people, do you know what I mean? I wouldn't, you know, get clean, I don't know, but, you know, I wouldn't use with half of these people, never mind hang around with them if and when I get clean. And it just all felt a bit like, you know, chamomile tea, kind of whatever business. And, you know, like I said, my experience of the day was that I was kind of out and about trying to get money together to buy drugs. You know, I used to go out for coffee with these people because I did keep going. So even though I'm kind of saying that was my first impression, I did keep going, and I've thought a lot about why I kept going. And I think it was just, you know, like I said, I didn't have normal conversations. It was just, I think, because I felt a bit tolerated. You know, even though there was occasions when people did suggest that maybe it wasn't the best idea for me to keep going because, you know, I didn't think there was anything wrong with, like, trying to, you know, hook up with people after the meeting to put two for a bag or, you know, I just didn't really, you know, people who were struggling or, you know, that, I just didn't see what the problem was, really. And you know, and I used to go out for coffee with people, and I used to kind of, you know, I was struggling to decipher how people actually got clean and how people stayed clean. And I'd go out for coffee and I'd say to these people who I felt I had absolutely nothing in common with. There was one guy, Victor, I felt I had something in common with, and he was the only one who was still using, so you can kind of draw the comparisons from that. But I used to ask him how you get clean and how you stay clean, and you know, they used to say to me, well, when you wake up in the morning, just don't pick up. I used to be like, you're taking the piss. Yeah. Because I can understand on an intellectual level that that's perfect sense. You know, if it was as easy as that, I wouldn't be sat here tonight, trust me, do you know what I mean? The problem for me was that when I woke up in the morning, you know, I didn't have enough time to actually make that conscious decision of, well, I'm just not going to pick up today. Because for me, you know, when I woke up in the morning, it was like I was plugged into the mains. I used to watch my eyelids lift up, do you know what I mean? I was wide awake before my eyes opened. And I really did. Every night, you know, I used to go to bed, I used to think, I don't want to be doing this. You know, I don't want to be doing this. It's not that I wanted to stop using. I just wanted to stop using the drugs that were causing me the main problem. And I'd wake up in the morning and I'd grab the quilt. You're joking. Yeah. I'm only just getting warmed up. And I grabbed the quilt. And I'd think to myself, I don't want to use. And it'd last for about 30 seconds because I used to think, you know, when I wake up in the morning, just don't get up and get to a meeting. I can't get till, like, you know, 7:30 with this going on in my head. And anyway, long story short, because I've only got 5 minutes, you know, I'm grateful to go into the NA in them early days and the fact that people did tolerate me and listen to me going on. And, you know, I've got people that sponsor me and lost the fucking step work they'd done and never spoke to them again and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a bit of a pain in the ass. Went to conventions with people and got off my head in the tent and, you know, insisted they drove me home because I was rattling and just all sorts of stuff. So I'm grateful to those people who tolerated me. And the other thing I'm grateful for is that via going to NA, I actually got into a treatment facility that enabled me to get clean and enabled me to get myself to a position where I could make informed choices because I was strengthened by the fact that I'd found NA. And I was kind of, you know, I was able to make informed choices because the problem I've got is that I suffer from, you know, selective amnesia. So I'll continually select what I want to forget and choose what I want to remember. And even now, you know, when I first got cleaned in 93, I lasted six years and I relapsed. I was out again for about 18 months on and off. And the reason that, you know, I thought I was going to go into my relapse and stuff because, you know, that's part of my message, but I'm not going to have time. But the reason that I relapsed was because, you know, for 6 years I'd given up my drug, what I felt was my drug of choice, but I hadn't accepted that I couldn't use other drugs. And my relapse, I didn't use heroin, I did have a bit of crack. I didn't use needles. There was lots of things that I didn't do. It didn't get as bad as it needed to or as bad as it was before, but it got me to a dark place again where I was desperate and I wanted to stop and I couldn't stop. And what it taught me was that it was me convincer, do you know what I mean? And now coming back and struggling to get back, you know, I have got a life beyond my wildest dreams. I really have. You know, when I talked about, you know, that fantasy that I had, you know, I've got that. You know, I've been back to college. I've come into university, I've got a degree in recovery, you know, I run a business, I've got, you know, employment, I've got a career, you know, I met my wife in recovery, I've got a 2.5-year-old, I'm a bit tired, he's kept us up a bit, he's brilliant, you know, my wife's expecting another baby, you know, and this is all stuff like, you know, I remember when I used to go to meetings at first and people used to share like that, and because I felt like every day I was getting my pocket picked, because I was bitter and I wasn't grateful, I couldn't abide by anybody else having anything. So if I was listening to me saying this stuff a few years ago, I'd have been like, you fucking twat. You know, what are you bragging for? What are you going on about? You know. But, you know, that's the stuff when I first came around that I wanted to hear. Do you know what I mean? I want to hear about what, you know, I can identify with what people are like. I want to know what happens when you do, when you get this stuff right. You know, and so I am a very grateful, you know, grateful recovering addict. I'm not the best at this, I'm not top of the class, still want to knock around with the lads at the back and piss about, if I'm honest, do you know what I mean? Sometimes don't think it's very cool, but being in NA or being clean sometimes, but it actually feels a lot more cooler than it did. You know, it's much cooler than using, do you know what I mean? Let's put it that way. And what I've realised is that the things that I think that I will get from using and drinking, the kind of big con with the addiction, You know, the big con of addiction is that I've got that stuff when I'm clean, and it's when I use and drink that I lose that stuff. That's the biggest con. And again, you know, we're talking about this thing of selective amnesia. I can, if I don't come to meetings and stay in touch with, you know, with a fellowship of meetings and my sponsor, I'll give a little mention. You know, I've got a very good sponsor, very affluent, well-respected, good look. Is that enough, John? Put it there. I've got a life beyond my wildest dreams. I've lost my thread a bit here, but that's it really. You know, if I don't keep checking in with these people and doing this stuff, left to my own devices, I can convince that if I was to go out and just have a little drink, you know, a bit of claret, you know, chilled on a stone floor, bit of nice cheese, my you know, when I'm cooking, like I ever cook, my using what I could, the fabrication I can make of what it would be like if I was to use, is something like a combination of an hip hop video and an episode of Friends. It's kind of somewhere in between. And the reality of my using is, or the reality of what my using was like is sharing people's used syringes. Being kicked out of my family home, you know, losing, you know, everything that I held dear to my heart, basically. And so on the strength of that, you know, I don't wake up in the morning and feel like I've had my pocket picked. I actually feel, quite grateful, really. You know, I've got to admit, I'm a few years clean again now. And I very rarely have bad days now. I don't know what that's about. Maybe I've just had a reminder of what it's like to be using. But I do feel quite grateful, you know, and I do try and, do my bit, really. Is that about it? That's about it. Thanks.